Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And that would be my theme verse for tonight. I do joke about it, but every time I get ready to speak, I pray about it. Everybody, I do pray about it, believe it or not, and I try to study it, and then I write it all down, and then I just start checking things off my notes as we go through the evening. That song that Daryl and Linda sang about. The Apostle Paul talks about it in this chapter, Philippians chapter 3. He lists all the good things that he had done. He said he was circumcised. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, tribe of Benjamin. And you know the passage. He said, I've done all this good stuff, but none of it's going to matter because it doesn't help me in my walk with God. In fact, it hinders me. The good things that I have done, my pedigree, my resume, however you want to say it, everything good about me, hinders my walk with God. It hinders me experiencing the grace of God and enjoying and doing what I need to do to serve Him. That first verse, rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes the older we get, the more we think it doesn't apply to us. But this is an older, more mature Christian saying, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, I know I already told you this, to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous. He says, don't tell me I'm repeating myself. I know I am. I know I told you this before. But you need to hear it again, because for you, it is safe. There are dangers. He warns the Christians about the dangers. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. People that were saying, you have to do these certain things. You have to follow this certain Old Testament law. Or you're not really a child of God. And they were elevating what Paul was talking about. They were elevating the works of man, the righteousness of man above the grace of God. And Paul said, I know I told you before, but I'm going to tell you one more time. The Savior that we serve is what we need. He is the one that made a way of pardon for us. He's the one that provided atonement for us. He's the one that gives us peace. That was just sang about. That was a beautiful song. If I didn't know any of the story made it that much more beautiful to think of the circumstance of life and to say, God's the one that holds my hand. God's the one that leads me through. But God is that comfort. Jesus is the one that comforts us when we should not be able to be comforted. It shouldn't make sense that we could receive comfort, but he gives that peace and comfort to us. Because of his character, we should love him, but because of what he did for us, we should love him. So we should rejoice in that. And again, I say as we get older, but we make the little kid sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. We make the little kid sing, I'm in right, outright, upright, downright, happy all the time. But that's good for the old people, too, to say, you know what, as you testified about, that look that we have on our face, every now and then we ought to check it and make sure that what we're expressing to the world shows what's in our heart. That, yeah, Jesus saved me. I'm happy in him. I'm his new creation. I'm bought with a price. I'm redeemed. When we were singing in choir practice tonight, it was hard to stay on time because the words were so powerful that to think that we stand redeemed before God because of what Jesus did for us. So I know I've said it before, but rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And all the good things that we have done, don't let them stand in the way of serving God. I'm going to skip down to verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul says, I know what I've done. My background. I know what I can count on for my righteousness, but I'm not going to even get close to the resurrection of God with the good that I have done. The only way I'm going to get there is to forsake all of that, to trash it all, to count it as loss, and to cling to the grace of God. The Bible reminds us of that again and again, to rejoice in the Lord, in what he has done, not in ourselves. Some of us, it's easy because we haven't done much, but we should rejoice in what God has done for us. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm the one that could say I've done a lot of things, but you shouldn't rejoice in what you have done. It's going to stand in the way of serving Christ. Realize that all of it has to count as loss. Again, sometimes we say, well, Jesus, I get the righteousness of Jesus on my account, But, you know, God, if you're gonna wipe my account clean, can you kind of write down the good stuff that I've done, just kind of add it to the bottom? Because I don't want it to count for nothing, you know. And sometimes we live our life that way, that, well, yeah, I know Jesus saves, but, you know, if there's any extra room in the good column, then you can put all the good stuff that I have done. And Paul says, no, count it all loss. Count all of it as loss. What you say is good and what you say is bad. And the Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Count it all as loss. Treat it like it doesn't matter, because the only thing that does matter is the treasure in Christ. Jesus talked about it in Matthew. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. And again, he knows the treasure's there, so he doesn't care about anything else that he owns, because he knows the treasure is more important than everything else that he has. So he sells it to buy that field, to get that treasure. We might be failing in our actions when we say that Christ is all in our life. We might not be able to say it's true in every area of our life. Later on in the same passage, Paul says, I haven't apprehended, I haven't attained. We might not be there yet, but we should still point ourselves to that truth, recognize the truth that Christ is all we need, that he is supreme in our life, that there might still be things in our life we need to get rid of, but we're headed down the path of counting all of it as loss. So that we can receive the resurrection, that we can know him, that we can have the fellowship both of his resurrection and in his sufferings, in the good and the bad. We can't resurrect something that hasn't died yet. And if we want to experience the resurrection of Christ, we have to realize that he suffered first. So rejoice in the Lord. Count it all as loss. And then see the results of doing that. See the results of rejoicing in the Lord. See the results of counting it all as lost. Paul said, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And I know I read it to you before, but I want to remind you again, we count it as loss. We count it as the result that we want to have in order to gain, in order to win Christ. Everything about our life should be amplifying what Jesus has done for us. That gain, that amplification. Every choice that we make says, does the thing I'm about to do, does the path in my thoughts or my actions or my forgiveness or lack thereof, is that amplifying or giving gain or winning Christ? Is that making him louder or more prevalent in my life, or am I turning it down? I'm using that word gain as like a volume control. Am I amplifying Christ in my life? Or am I pulling back? Am I turning him down? That we can gain Christ to be every part of our life. That we get that new perspective. Real quick, I would make an illustration and I'll be done. If we treated Jesus the way that we treated air, most of us take oxygen for granted until you can't breathe, and then all of a sudden it becomes very important. Most of us take our spouses for granted until there's an emergency or there's a health problem. Or until danger comes. I know that we are once saved, always saved. We believe in eternal security. But sometimes we treat God in such a way that we should love him even though he can't leave us. We should love him even though his grace is bigger than our sin. We should want to stay with him even though he'll never leave us. We should have that willingness to follow him wherever he tells us to go. All those relationships that we have. I use the example of a husband and wife. You know, we take a vow till death do us part. Well, if I always use that as my contractual obligation, my marriage might not be the best. If that's the only promise I ever made is I'm not going to leave you, you might be miserable the whole time, but I'm not going anywhere, and that wouldn't be a very good marriage. And the same thing is true for our relationship with God. He's not going anywhere. He's not going to leave us, but we ought to treat him the way that he should be treated. We ought to treat him as our Savior, the most important thing. Everything else around us is trash and can go down the toilet. It's trash, it's garbage, and everything else around us should pale in comparison to him. We want to be found in Christ. We want to gain Christ. We want to be found in his righteousness, and we want to experience his suffering. Nobody wants to suffer, but everybody wants to be part of that resurrection. And you testified about it tonight. The reason we want suffering in our life is so we can be an example to somebody else, so we can point others to Christ. That was a beautiful song. It would not have been written had suffering not occurred. It's a beautiful testimony. It would not be a true testimony if had there not been some suffering that occurred. And God asks us to accept that suffering, to know him so we can know what he went through, so we can tell somebody else about him. I wasn't going to read, you almost mentioned the song tonight, but that song, whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. And that's what we're talking about tonight, our willingness to follow Christ, our willingness to do whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. And again, none of us have attained, none of us have apprehended. But which direction are we headed? Which way are we turning the volume control? More Jesus in every decision, or turn him down, back him off a little bit? Whatever it takes, or, well, you promised to always be with me, so just put up with my sin. Just put up with my bitterness. Just put up with my obstinance and my ignorance and not focus on Christ. What are we willing to do to pursue Christ and make him as the most important and the only thing in our life, whatever it takes? What do we need to get rid of? What needs to be counted as loss? And we talked about it this morning in Sunday school. Sometimes you got to do it more than one time. Say, I count it again as loss. It came back into my life. No, that's still trash. I didn't mean to get it out of the trash can. I count it as loss. I count it again as loss so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for every bit of the service tonight. Thank you for living examples of those that have gone through suffering, those that have gone through pain, those that have been through the valleys and not understood why, but they knew they trusted you. Help us, Lord, to realize that that ought to be our prayer, that as a mature Christian said, whatever it takes. As the mature Christian said, I know I already told you this, but I'm going to tell you again, never stop rejoicing in the Lord. Never stop trusting in him. Never stop trying to draw closer to him. Help us to that to be our prayer tonight, that if it is suffering, that we'd receive it, that we'd use it and say, I have opportunities I wouldn't have had if you hadn't given me this suffering. I've had examples. I've had a chance to witness. I've had my opportunity for my faith to grow. It never would have been this strong if I hadn't been through this testing. Thank you for the people that you put in our lives. Thank you for the young and the old that teach us. Help us never stop listening. Help us never stop listening to your leading in our life. Bless our invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.